Amen, and thank you, and good morning. What a blessing it is to be here today. We are taken care of by God in ways that are just infinitely beyond calculation. You all, you all are so generous in giving care and attention, in serving, in volunteering for things. It's very humbling to be part of this body. I thank you. And I pray that we never cease growing in our love. You know, when we're challenged to love and serve by God, those are wonderfully infinite challenges. It just gets better and better. The growth and the blessings of those just multiply, and they spread God's love to more and more people. Today's lesson, starting here in Romans 12, is a lesson built on those ideas of growing in the use and the purpose for which God has put us here. We have big purposes. We have big purposes. One of the best things about being a Christian is you never have to, I shouldn't say never, but you don't really end up wondering what your purpose is. Why am I here? We know why we're here. We're here to be the family of God, to respond to His love, to bring glory to His name, to listen to His word, follow His Son. And in that synergy, in that combination, we are blessed, God's glorified, and others learn about Him. But personally, there is some why am I here? Personally, there is some gift you've been given that we're supposed to grow in. Before we dive back into Romans 12, let's go to our Father in prayer. Precious Lord, Heavenly Father, how can we praise you enough, thank you enough, respond to you with enough focus and devotion? And the answer is we can't. Father, we are meager in our gifts. We're small in our efforts. And we're so sometimes selfish in our thoughts. Father, if we did it all perfectly in our size and limited time on this earth, we cannot respond adequately to what you've done for us. But we know that in your hands, even the tiniest gift can be multiplied into great and powerful effects. Please help us to never sell you short, Father. And with whatever you've given to us, help us to be genuine and generous and giving to those around us and to you. We pray that during this lesson we can learn what you want us to learn. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in Romans 12, verse 5, we who are many are one body. It's designed that way. I'd love to take 10 minutes and go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and see that every part of the body is important. No part of the body can say of itself that it's not needed. Everybody is needed. Everyone is needed. For those who are home this morning because of the snow or because of sickness or who are away because of travel, let us who are together this morning call them up, go visit them, connect with them, and say, I love you and I missed you. Is everybody okay? We're all needed. It is so sad that the feeling that we get out of Satan's temptation is, oh, you know, nobody really likes you very much. And nobody, you didn't go on Sunday and nobody even called. that must mean they didn't miss you. So it's not that important being with the church. And Satan gets those lies into our head and pulls us away. Says, oh, you're tired anyway. You've had a hard week. And look at that snow out there. And on and on and on. And he tugs you away. And he tempts you into thinking that you're not important. When God says you're precious. And Christ says you're priceless. And the scripture says you're necessary. We who are many are one body, verse 5, and individually members one of another. You're part of me, I'm part of you, we're part of each other. Since we have gifts, verse 6, that differ according to the grace given to us, let each of us exercise them accordingly. And then Hanu beautifully gave us the reading of that list. But the point is that each member has gifts that differ beautifully. We're not the same. My goodness, how awful we'd be if we were all like me. Ugh. We're different. And your gift is a necessary part of the body. Whatever it is, your smile, your handshake, your tender care, your paying attention to that young mother that walked through the back of the room that needed a little extra help. Your organizational skills in putting a meal together, your teaching skills in serving in a classroom, your muscle skills in clearing the snow, whatever your skills are, whatever God has given you as a gift, you're to use it. But notice how you're supposed to use it. All of it is used in application to the body, to the church. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter spells this out a little more, with a little more clarity. 1 Peter 1:9 down there, little bitty ones. But they have pink and green tags on them, on the lids. I don't know what that means. Anyway. Thank you to whoever did that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Our love is to be alive, is to be eager. Our love is to be focused and caring. Outward looking, because love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that necessary? Somebody said to me within this month that people are sloppy. People are difficult. I know I am. People are hard to figure out. You get more than two people in a room, it gets confusing. Carol and I can't even communicate, and we're just two people in a room at times. It's difficult, and love covers those difficulties. Love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. In verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Romans says that there's no ungifted Christians. 1 Peter says that each gift we have, we're to use in serving one another. Get your gift out. Get it connecting to people. Use it in building up the body. That way, you will be a good caretaker of that which God gave you. More and more, more and more these terrific devices are pulling us away from people. These things are pulling us away from each other. And I don't mean in this group or even in this setting. But you don't have to go very far in our society, standing in line at the store, sitting in a restaurant, sitting in a coffee shop, in a business office, anywhere, and everybody's... rather than what they might have been doing 10, 15, 20 years ago, at least looking around. There are humans in this room. And every person out there has anxieties, has loneliness, and suspicions that they're not good enough, issues with feeling alone or with feeling inadequate or with feeling vulnerable. Everybody. Doesn't matter how confident the person looks, how sure of themselves they sound, everybody suffers with self-doubt. Everybody. And we need each other. Even people who say, I don't need anybody, need people. We are to be stewards of what God has given us for the good of people. And a verse and a word we got in both of these verses, in the mix of how to use our gifts, is this word, this phrase, hospitality. In verse 13 of Romans 12, we are told to practice hospitality. And in verse 9 of 1 Peter 4, it says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. We've talked about this word in months, years past. The word is the mix of the word love of, philo, and xenia, or xena, foreigner. You've heard of xenophobia. That's the fear of strangers. But literally, the word in the Greek sense is foreigner. So Christ is asking us and teaching us to be people who love those who are different than us. Love the foreigner. Love different people. When Christ gave us the two greatest commandments, love the Lord, Rocky talked about the one already this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is love your neighbor as yourself. He's talking about the neighborhood of humankind. Because the parable, he says after that, of who's our neighbor is the bloodied foreigner beaten up and left on the side of the road. Difficult, nasty, uncomfortable. How do I do this? Oh, Lord, don't give me that. Give me a little child to help out. I'll help a child. How about that? A cute little child, all friendly with a balloon in their hand. Give me puppies to rescue. No, I want you to go out and get people who are hurting and help them know me. We're asked to be hospitable without complaint. Love foreigners. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 25, the very, very famous teaching that Jesus gives us from the parable and toward the end of his time on earth. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And when the righteous answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. The least. Who's your least? Who's the least person on earth on your list? And we would all nobly love to say, oh, no, 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 no. I don't have any least. I love everybody. How about the arrogant, wealthy person? How about the cold, distant, legalist? How about the person who doesn't take any advice and shoves everybody away? Someone in our tempted, fault-filled thinking, somebody fits our least. Jesus challenges us in our deepest part of us, saying, I want you out serving the least. And I want the body to be a healthy place for people to apply their gifts. In the care of each other. We could be highly organized as a church. People say, well, I don't like organized religion. I say, well, come over to the Valley congregation because we're not organized at all. But imagine we were. Imagine we were administratively and educationally and in every way possible. Imagine we were hyper-organized and really efficient about like starting on time. Imagine that. Or we had a sound system that was just perfect and didn't have any flaws in it, or whatever it was, and we weren't loving and caring. What would you have? A mostly empty building, I imagine. And imagine if we were clumsy and we tripped over our own shoes and half the building didn't work and we couldn't hardly organize our way out of a wet paper bag. But we really took care of each other. And we loved the person who walked through the doors. And we went out of here and loved those in our own neighborhoods and our community. And we brought Christ's kind of love with us. Oh. Hardly get much better than that. Hardly get much better than that. The entire book of 3 John is about this kind of welcoming care. We're not going to read that now because we're going to run out of time. But if you want to go back to that, pay attention. It's such a short book, only a few verses long. But the entire thing is about those in the body that John's writing to who do practice hospitality and welcome the stranger in. And those who do not. Diotrephes is listed by name as someone who doesn't welcome people. This isn't just a New Testament teaching of the soft and loving Christ. God gave this command in the law to his people throughout the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:33 reads this way. When a stranger travels with you in your land or travels to you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That last part is God's exclamation mark. I'm telling you this deliberately as something I want you to be good at. You welcome and take care and love strangers. And Leviticus 25, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Exodus warns us, you shall not oppress the sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Ezekiel 47, you shall allot as an inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be as you to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. Again, Leviticus 24, Deuteronomy 26, Deuteronomy 10, over and over and over again, we're taught to be a people who care for strangers. This is a time in our country for Christ and his church to shine. This is a time to shine. Politically, we have an entire sections of our country, citizens, who feel marginalized, who feel ignored or pushed out. The drastic swing of political power in this country, it seems to many people, has gone from one extreme to another. True or not, accurate or not, your political view, regardless, is set aside. But the feeling among many people of our country is that they have been or are being marginalized. We, independent of political positions or nationality, we as Christ's should be out connecting ourselves to strangers, to foreigners, to everybody, but maybe with a sensitivity to those marginalized or with a sense of marginalization. The foreigner in this country with the, I'm not arguing, with the America First sound of the political speech, the foreigner in our country kind of puts their hand in their pockets and backs away a bit, saying, am I even welcome? You and I know that we were all foreigners at one point while our families were in this country. Only the Native Americans really, and they arrived here from Asia, have really any long-term connection. But we need to be people who have our eyes wide open. When you're standing in line at the store, put your device in your pocket and look at the family in front of you or behind you or next to you. When you're waiting at the DMV for your license plate or your driver's license, put your phone away and talk to the person sitting next to you. Talk to strangers. The opposite of the parental teaching, don't talk to strangers. Talk to strangers. Talk to strangers. Find a stranger or find a strange one of us and talk to them. I know, it's awkward. You have a fear. Remember, it's not about you. So any rejection you get is between them and Christ. It's a conversation between Christ and you and them anyway. So don't worry about any rejection. Chalk it up to they're having a bad day or whatever it might be. Say hello. Detach yourself from the outcome. A warm conversation doesn't mean you're awesome. And a rejection doesn't mean you're terrible. It means you have or haven't maybe contacted somebody for Christ. Practice. Say it to yourself in the car before you walk in the store. Make the conversation about them. Look at something maybe they're buying. Have you bought that style of food before? I was wondering about that. How is it? You pretty reasonable. Your family enjoys it. Talk to the children with them. Notice something that the child might be looking at. If you have children with you, you can turn to your children and say something. Look, they're buying the same kind of bread as we like. Just use anything you can to open up a piece of information between you and the other person. You might want to talk about snow or cold weather, which is a pretty simple thing to bring up in conversation. And then ask them, are they okay? Having any trouble driving? Is their driveway clear? How long have they lived in Alaska? Is this cold giving them any trouble? What's their job? Wow, that's fascinating. I knew somebody who worked in that field. Do you know so-and-so? Smile. Use things going on in their immediate sphere and things going on in your immediate sphere as a way to connect. Talk to the stranger among us. Find a common interest. And if that's all you do is lift up somebody's day with warmth and kindness, that's powerful and wonderful. But practice this. We have business cards out on the table outside. Some of them have our names on them. Nancy does these. This one has my name. Mike says his name. The elders have some with their name, etc. You can borrow ours and use ours if you want. But there are some out there that don't have any name specific to them. And say, this is the church I go to. Would you be interested in coming this Sunday? And give them a card. Love to see you. Help them carry their groceries to their car. Help find somebody putting a child in the car in the parking lot and say, can I take your cart back to the store? God commands us, teaches us, and gives us gifts with which we can practice loving strangers. We can practice and put into place in our lives a love of the foreigner, a love of people who we don't know, a love of people who are different than us. This is even given to elders as a requirement that elders must be hospitable. That doesn't mean you're a good cook with a grill in the back on the back deck and you invite people over. That means you love those you don't know. Let us be more and more that kind of a congregation, and specifically reach out and connect with strangers. The blessings will be multiplied in every direction. It's what Christ asks us to do. We overflow with the love of God. Let's share it with others. This morning, if there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, if there's any who need anything with the local congregation that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.